code rules that reflect scientific understanding and also our public opinion, and I really encourage you to adopt these rules. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina, for your comments. Any questions of Tina this morning, this afternoon now? Thank you. What's next, Tess?
I don't see any other members of the public with their hand raised. That's star 9 on the phone or the hand raise icon. So if we don't see anyone in the next moment, then we'll be able to move forward.
And I don't see any hands up from the commission, so I think we're about to put a wrap. Margaret and Randy, thank you very much for your work. And look forward to hearing the next steps.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll see you on the 24th with the plan is to come back on the 24th and ask for your vote on this. So.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we will move on to agenda item 8. C-3619 hatchery policy. This is a briefing and public comment. Lori Peterson.
And just one moment here. Let's make sure to bring Lori over.
And just so everyone remembers, as we wrap up this item, we will have a short meeting wrap-up and future meeting discussion for a few moments.
Thank you, Commissioner Chair Carpenter and Commissioners. And I'm going to be sharing my screen now. I get up the PowerPoint. I have three today. Great. All right. So I'm Lori Peterson, the Fish Science Division Manager at the department. Really glad to be here today. Ron Warren often briefs you on this project with me, and he's busy in the midst of the North of Falcon PFNC meeting, so he couldn't be here. But I'm thrilled to be here and give you another project update. There have been a few of these in recent months. And then we'll be, I understand, taking guidance from the commission today on next steps with the project. So just to take us back to June 2018, when the project began, the Fish and Wildlife Commission had the decision to review all sections and aspects of our hatchery and fishery reform policy, C-3619, and suspend policy guidelines 1, 2, and 3 for salmon species other than steelhead. And we were assigned the review to include examining performance results since the policy was adopted, conducting a full scientific review, and that would include the last 10 years or so of emerging science, and providing alternatives for possible policy changes. So throughout this project, we've used this metaphor of the three-legged stool, so I'll use that here to illustrate our project elements. The objective is the policy, a fulsome policy review. And one leg of that stool is our science review, including, as I mentioned, the emerging science. And we'll have more slides on that, but that review has been completed. The second leg is the policy performance evaluation. And just yesterday, we had a workshop with commissioners on the results of our policy performance and implementation report. And the third leg is a joint co-manager hatchery benefits document. We are dialoguing with the co-managers on that document and getting going a bit on it. We don't have an outline yet, but definitely conversations going back and forth, and I think we're heading in that direction. So project elements are also, of course, engaging our tribal co-managers in policy development. Reaching out to our partners, salmon recovery partners, NOAA Fisheries and others, as well as the general public. And then ultimately the commission will consider all of our final reports, recommendations, and alternatives for possible policy changes. For that first leg of the stool, the science review document, including emerging science, We have completed that. The Washington Academy of Sciences completed their third and final review of our document at the end of October of 2019. And we incorporated their comments as well as reviews of others. And by the end of January 2020, we did distribute our document to commissioners, tribes, partners, and the public so they could read it and review it. We completed a science review workshop with commissioners on February 6th recently, which went very well, and I was really proud of our staff and the work they did from Science Division. And so currently, Joe Anderson and Ken Warhite, our lead research scientists on that paper, along with others on our team, are addressing any follow-up questions commissioners had and their input. The second leg of the stool, the policy review and evaluation work, that also has been a lot of work. I'm really proud of our staff, Andrew Murdoch and Gary Marston, the co-authors that worked on a draft policy implementation review document. And they distributed that February 7th for you all to read and review. So this document reviews our policy performance of 3619 since adoption in 2009. And the 11 policy guidelines are reviewed in a green, yellow, red, stoplight. We also had orange in there, report card format relative to defined performance metrics. And then yesterday we completed the workshop via webinar format with the commission and felt that that went really well. This slide is our timeline moving forward for this project. And so I'll start in the upper left corner with February 2020 when we did have our science review workshop. And we had a Fish and Wildlife meeting where I gave the project status update like I'm doing now. We had time for public comments. And also at the end of February, that orange arrow on the bottom indicates we had a critically important meeting with our tribal co-managers at Muckleshoot Casino where we did receive tribal co-manager input. We had another one of those as a Zoom webinar call on April 3rd, so just recently, last Friday, in which we received input from our tribal co-managers, especially the Puget Sound tribes and coastal tribes. So here we are, the red box is April right now, 2020. We're at the Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting for this update. We had, as mentioned, this policy performance workshop yesterday morning. And we're here to also receive guidance on next steps, possible consideration of policy language alternatives. We will also have a chance for public comment after this presentation.
Lori, if I may, Jim Anderson has a question, has his hand up.
Sure.
You got to unmute yourself, Jim.
Oops, sorry about that. I wanted to reflect a little bit on what you said with regard to the science report. In Kennewick, the commission talked about the science report as being a work in progress, and that it was a draft, and that there was still opportunity and engagement with others to go on. And I just wanted to clarify that it's a draft report.
So our research scientists went through the Washington State Academy of Sciences and worked with them for about a year. They provided the guidance. And so to maintain the integrity of that process, there were 8 independent scientists that reviewed it. Our research scientists are calling it complete from their perspective. However, we are totally open to some follow-up work, so working on an additional technical memorandum, other work to incorporate tribal and commissioner input and the other input. And so that's the perspective from our staff's view at this point, but we can certainly work with you.
Yes. Well, I think our review sees it as a piece of a bigger picture, and that it's a science piece, as review of the implementation is a piece, and the hatchery benefits work is a piece. So at least the way I'm looking at this is that we've got a number of different parts, none of which is complete until we have the right mix of things in front of us, and decisions are made by the policy decisions are made. So.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Any other input before I move on? All right. So I understand from the Fish Committee meeting that was held yesterday, and I've updated this timeline, that in June, the staff will bring draft policy language for review and commissioner feedback and guidance at the June Fish Committee meeting. Then in mid-summer, to be announced, we're thinking there'll be another tribal co-manager engagement consultation meeting. Then moving to the right of the timeline, July, August 2020, we've got a Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting scheduled. I think it's in Aberdeen, in which we'll have a markup draft version of the policy for public review. And by October 2020, we will have the two-step decision process by the commission on the revised policy, as I understand it. That's the goal here for the timeline. At each of these points in the yellow boxes, we show the opportunity for public comment. We also got a bar toward the bottom here, the co-manager's hatchery benefits document. That's what we're calling it. It's basically looking at an ecosystems framework, socio-ecological benefits provided by hatcheries, such as food in the form of fish for tribal and non-tribal communities, and legal considerations like treaty rights, and going more into those subjects that we definitely referred to and touched on in the other documents but couldn't explore fully. So this third document, we're calling it the hatchery benefits document. I'm looking forward to working with the tribes on that in the coming weeks and months. I know they're very busy with North of Falcon and COVID-19 response, so they haven't been able to meet on it yet, but I think we'll get there. And throughout, we've had, throughout the process, public and partner involvement, and of course, working with you all on the commission in Fish Committee monthly updates. Next slide. The final slide is just a conglomeration of different pictures from our hatcheries over the years and different scenes around Washington State. And I'd like to see if you have any questions or comments, topics for discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thanks, Lori, for a nice presentation again. A couple of comments on the two draft reports, and then maybe a question on the hatchery benefits report, table of contents, at least anyway. So on the two reports, I think following up on Commissioner Anderson's comment, maybe it's a matter of just being careful about the word complete when it's described. There are portions of that that I presume are complete, but as we move toward finalizing the report to the spot where it could be released, you mentioned a technical memorandum. There's also some other input that they were going to respond to. There were some valuable things that were added at the workshop that would be very useful, remembering that the purpose of the paper is to help the commission's considerations. So it's just a matter of calling when we call it complete, I guess it would be when it's released by the agency as a final entire endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
On the draft report that we had the workshop on, let me say thanks again to you and the staff for the good work on Thursday morning. All the folks that put that together spent a lot of time on that. There was some additional material that was shown to us in the PowerPoint that was not in the draft document released a month or so ago, and it's important to have that in there, in particular where the original assignment is described. I think it'd be good for that to be in there. We didn't quite get to the last couple of examples, so it'd be good to maybe see another draft of that as we move through time at some point. It would also be helpful for the authors to consider some of the questions that came up at the workshop and any other comments from commissioners or other folks in finalizing the draft in a similar manner to the policy report. So, but at any rate, it was very good to have the workshop over. We're into the language phase now, and thanks to you and all the folks involved.
Sure thing. Our pleasure. Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments for Lori Peterson? Okay. Lori, thank you very much. Do we have any public comment, Tess?
Looks like we do have a couple raised hands. So let's go ahead and start off with Ron Garner, and then Spencer Rusin is going to be on deck.
Very good. Thank you.
And Ron, make sure to look for that unmute microphone as well on your computer.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. There's several of our guys that are working on right now PFMC north of Falcon. And if I can, maybe speak for them later if they can't get on. But I don't have as quite a rosy a view of this document. Butch Smith, Dave Kroonquist, myself, Dave Johnson, Frank Urbeck, we've all been working this. And what we see is we've been working between commission and tribes and talking about this a lot. We feel like this this paper, this Academy of Sciences paper, went rogue. We don't feel like it followed the protocols that were asked for by the commissioners. So I'm going to read what I've written. Points for the WAS Andrew Murdoch research report paper that need embedded into the document itself. The paper has to go on record and stamped as an invalid document by the commission. There are plans for this document to become a new white paper, which will become the basis for many lawsuits against the state for years to come. I've already received copies from the public pointing to its findings and trying to use it, which will come back later possibly to undo this policy. Reasons are below. Number one, none of the tribal input was used in the document, skewing its output. Number two, commission direction and protocols were not followed. Number three, draft wording removed from the WSAS document without authorization as it was not final nor adopted, and in some cases, the direction was outright ignored. Draft wording must formally be added back to document. Four, data that was not complete or could be evaluated fully was omitted instead of documented as such. Was a biased report, therefore deems it inaccurate. Five, was mistakenly sent out as to be in full compliance that it did not have. Tribal input was omitted and the included tribal scientists disagree with the findings. Gives it the perception this draft document was final. This paper must go on record at this point, stamped as an invalid document until final by the commission, ensuring that in later years it does not reappear as a white paper. That is my biggest gist of what's going on with this.
Lori, can you take your PowerPoint down, because I can't see on my screen with that on who might have their hand up to recognize other commissioners, if no one minds. Thank you. Any questions or comments of Ron Garner? Okay. Hearing none, Tess, next, please.
Sure. Spencer, you're up next, and Butch Smith, you're on deck.
Yeah, can you hear me?
A little bit. You're a little bit broken up. But...
I just want to basically take a minute and touch base with everybody and bring apart an important impact that we're going through right now, and that is the closure of fishing in North Falcon for winter fisheries this coming year. That seems more likely than not. And it's just a huge impact for our local economy and our rights as citizens in this state to hope to not have further restrictions and, in fact, hope to increase fish numbers for years to come.
Thank you, Spencer. Tess, next, please.
Yep. Butch, you're up next, and Greg King will be on deck.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Butch Smith, on 7 days and about 300 hours of webinars, I took a stepped away from the PFMC process, took my chairman hat up here, and came to be recognized. Butch Smith, president of the Owako Charter Association, also a port commissioner, chairman, and on various committees of the on the state. I would echo exactly what Ron Gardner said, but I heard some things yesterday. I was able to dribble in and out and get some excerpts of the of your fish committee meeting yesterday, and I was really mortified when I heard the Mr. Murdoch say that this policy hasn't hurt fishing at all. I was really saddened, and I understand if Mr. Murdoch spends most of his time in Eastern Washington, but I do invite him to come to the coast and see what devastation looks like. You want to talk about the coronavirus? HSRG was a virus that started in 2002, not formally adopted till 2008, and it's been killing coastal communities ever since. Not only our coastal communities, but our tribes. And look at Puget Sound. Chairman Carpenter, we've been in this fish management helping for a long time, longer than I'd hate to admit. And when have you had to take a, they're going to lose their winter fisheries. We used to tease, and sadly, and most of all, the ocean was jealous. Puget Sound used to be the sacred cow that always got to fish no matter what. And that wasn't quite the truth, but it just seemed like that way when you came from the ocean. And now they're losing their whole, almost their entire winter fisheries. Let me give you an example of some HSR, partly HSRG numbers. You've heard me say this, but I've broken them down. From 92 to 2016, you are now producing 64 million less coho and Chinook in Puget Sound, 28 million just in Chinook alone. The Columbia River is, from 1992 to 2018, is 170 million less smolt production in Chinook and coho. Statewide, pushing up of about 165 million. You cannot tell me that that production has not hurt, and it doesn't continually to hurt. When ocean conditions are what they are right now, it has a big effect, because zero production of any percent is still zero. I don't care what school you went to. Even a kid from El Waco can figure that out. It is imperative that you guys have the cure to this virus, and it's time. We gave it the old college try. It is not working. Another example, just so you know, Lower Columbia River Falls Chinook. That's a NOAA hatchery, not a state hatchery. If NOAA went by the strict HSRG policies like the state does, they would be raising 71% less Tule or Lower Columbia River Chinook than they are now. And those Chinook go clear up to Canada, feed fisheries, sport and tribal and commercial fisheries, all the way down into the Bowie 10 fisheries and higher. and they also feed orca whales. So it appears this HSRG virus has not only caused its devastation on the coast and in Puget Sound, but it also spread out to the orca whales.
Thanks, Butch. You are at 3 minutes, so if you just want to let you know you've hit that time for your last comments.
Tess, he gets a little longer as an elected individual. We'll give him another minute.
Oh, fantastic. Great. Thank you.
Sorry, Tess. My fault. I didn't see the clock. In closing, I think you guys are doing an amazing job. You know, some of this policy was ingrained out of a political process, which is never good to interject a political process into a science process. And I want to commend the commission for the work they're doing and continue to replace this policy. We support that on the coast. Our tribal friends also support it. And let's get this ship righted back so we can get to some reasonable fisheries and save the orca whale. Thank you very much.
Butch, thank you very much for your comments, Butch. And I hope you get off webinar here shortly, maybe later today. Any questions of Butch Smith? Thanks again. Okay, Tess?
Yeah, it looks like we've got one more hand up from Greg. Butch, did I just cut you off? Did you? Okay. And if we have any other comments after Greg, please take the time right now to get that hand raised so we can slot you in. Otherwise, Greg will be our last caller.
Greg King, good afternoon, Chair Carpenter and Commission. I have to concur with my two colleagues, Mr. Gardner and Mr. Smith. I totally agree with what they're saying. You guys put out a guidance letter yesterday. Yesterday was awful long, and I have to concur with Butch about Mr. Murdoch saying it was not detrimental to our fisheries. I noticed this guidance letter you put out today. We have asked at our CalEx advisory group meetings why the state isn't managing for SARs. Adult returns, and we never get a real answer. That would give us a good indicator of how our fisheries are doing. And I also see in this guide letters, we have 4-H's we talk about all the time, but there isn't anything about predation. And in that all H strategy, shouldn't there be a part for predation now, since we're dealing with these huge predation problems on the Columbia River? And anyway, I'm gonna also tell you about these stray rates. We did the USGS did a study in, I think it was a 3-year study on the Calais River submarine steelhead, and we showed a stray rate of 1%, which is minuscule on these stray rates. So this is just food for thought for the commission. Also, in Tacoma Power's fish hatchery management plan, this came out in 2019, they said that tributaries below Mayfield Dam were either extinct or going extinct. And we're using weirs in these streams, and there's nothing in these streams to try to separate hatchery from wild. There's because they're extinct. And, you know, I just feel that some of this stuff we're doing here, I have to concur with Butch and Ron, you know. This is, you guys know what to do. You need to guide us and produce some fish. I mean, we're showing no seasons, no spring Chinook season on the Calix, no fall Chinook season on the Calix, and barely getting any fish back. And it's because of constraints of HSRG. Anyway, that's just my food for thought for today, and thanks. That's my comment.
Greg, thanks for calling in. Any questions of Greg? Okay, Tess, I understand we have another speaker.
Yes, looks like we've got Robert Sudar has a comment, so go ahead and get yourself. We've got you unmuted on our end if you want to look for that unmute button on your end, Robert. Perfect.
Yeah, thanks, commissioners, for this opportunity to comment. Rob Sudar, commercial advisor from the Columbia. I wasn't able to watch the presentation yesterday morning. I did listen to the Fish Committee meeting yesterday, and I looked over the report from yesterday morning. I thought that the changes that were presented at the end of the Fish Committee meeting, the updates to the policy were good ones. I think they addressed things that we need to be considering. I think we've done good things in our hatcheries and not mixing fish between watersheds, trying to get local stock for production in the hatcheries. Those are all good things. We can continue to do those within our policies. I think that it's good to remove the mandates on marked selective fisheries. I think that is a tool for managers that works in some situations, doesn't work in others. There's no reason to force that. Let the managers make those decisions. They're capable of making those choices. I like the addition of adaptive management being brought into this policy. It's essential in any policy that there be some adaptive management because there are few tools for the public to use other than adaptive management to try to bring needed changes to a policy. I hope that everybody looks at slide 27 in yesterday's long report and notices under alternative gear that tangle nets were the primary gear that was used over the course of that study. But we don't get any credit for that as an alternative gear in the conversations. It was effective in spring Chinook harvest we lost our main stem spring Chinook harvest. It was effective in some good coho years. I think we need to get credit for the useful, for tangle nets as an effective, useful tools that the managers should be able to use. And there was also some discussion yesterday about changing wild in the report to natural production. And that works great for biologists, but in the marketplace, wild is still the term, not natural. And I completely understand what the intent was yesterday, but I think that need to make sure that we don't provide another term that confuses the general public. They see wild and farm fish as two very distinct groups. Wild includes wild production and hatchery production. And so I think we need to keep that in mind, that there's more than just what the biologists talk about. There's also about what the markets talk about, what the general public talks about. So I think those are the main things I wanted to consider. Like I said, I'm in favor of what was presented yesterday at the end of the Fish Committee meeting as a new framework for modifying this, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Robert, for your comments. Any questions of Robert? Hearing none. Robert, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That concludes the listed agenda for today. We were going to put a few minutes out here for
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before we leave this agenda item, I think it's important that the full commission consider the Fish Committee recommendation, and I'd be prepared to make the simple motion for the commission to adopt the Fish Committee recommendation that's listed under this agenda item.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Was that you, Commissioner? Okay. Okay. Commissioner McIsaac, do you want to speak to the motion?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be very brief. We've had our couple of planned workshops. We've had some meetings with our tribal co-managers. We had a thorough discussion yesterday at the Fish Committee, and I think it's useful for the staff to get this direction in writing so that they can proceed to the next step. And this is something that should come from the full commission.
Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none.
Commissioner Carpenter, as Commissioner Thorburn, if I could speak to the motion as well. I had a chance, I was not at the Fish Committee yesterday, but I've had a chance to look at the document that's referred to in the motion. As I've been through this review and seen the documents produced by our staff as well as listened to the constituents, I've come to wonder whether we should continue to call this the hatchery reform policy. I'm thinking perhaps it's appropriately titled the hatchery policy. I think that there are lots of standards established in different ways for our hatcheries. We have ESA requirements, we have Vigil Act requirements, we have the permits for each of the hatcheries, the anadromous or the hatcheries that deal with endangered fish. What stood out for me yesterday as we listened to the presentation we really need to improve on evaluation, monitoring and evaluation. And that means being very clear about goals and objectives of the hatcheries, of each of the hatcheries, as well as basins and other things that are impacted by hatcheries. So it doesn't strike me that really what we're talking about with the revisions is hatchery reform, but we're talking about hatcheries and how they're managed evaluated, monitored, and evaluated. So that's just something that I've thought about in regards to this motion.
Would you like to make an amendment to the motion?
Mr. Chairman?
One moment. Let me finish with Commissioner Thorburn first.
Sure. I would amend the motion to retitle it as the hatchery policy instead of the hatchery reform policy.
Okay. Commissioner McKaysey.
Well, I guess properly we would look for a second, but maybe before there's a second, I would make a note that the Fish Committee recommendation agrees pretty well with what Commissioner Thorburn has just said, and you'll see that it does recommend a change to a title of Anadromous Salmon and Steelhead Hatchery Policy. That's in the recommendation. So it's not exactly the motion that was perhaps made, but the point about reform or hatchery operations, I think the thinking is very consistent with what we just heard from Commissioner Thorburn. So to be clear, the Fish Committee recommendation, as you'll see, is point A in what's posted as a document. It says change the title to reflect a hatchery policy only, delete fishery reform from the title, and it says Anadromous Salmon and Steelhead Hatchery Policy. So if this went forward, the instructions to the staff would be specific in that particular area. Now, I'll come back to the commission sooner or later, but I just maybe would make the maker of the motion aware of that before.
So thank you for that clarification. I'll withdraw the motion for the amendment.
Okay. Commissioner Thorburn moves to strike the motion. Thank you. Okay. Commissioner Anderson.
Place a point on that. It's important to make sure that we're not confusing our salmon and steelhead hatchery policies with trout hatcheries and the like too. So just I think the action that we didn't take is good because we need to think about making sure that we don't confuse things as we're trying to clarify things.
Very good point. Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Are there any other comments from the commission? Everybody's smiling, so I'll call for the question. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed,
aye.
Same sign. Aye. Motion carries. Thank you all. We will move now to a brief meeting wrap-up discussion and potentially future meeting.